I thought you deserved a little longer play on that intro. There you go. I wanted to see how
better
much
and better and better. I got to tell you.
With that doodling,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
There you go. There you go. So hello and happy Monday, everyone. It is 7 o'clock, a little after 7, right here on WRLR 98.3. You are tuned in to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. Our show here every week is, like I said, it's at 7 o'clock, and it's all about helping you. I forgot what I was talking about. It is all about helping you navigate those paths of happiness.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go. And I can't do it by myself. I need my bestest buddy.
Rusty!
Rusty! Oh,
I'm sorry.
The other one.
The other one, Tiffany!
Yeah, there you go. Almost as good as Rusty. All
right. Almost.
No, almost.
Someday, right. Maybe.
Boy. I can't believe I was messing up that beginning there. Can you empathize with me? Can you sympathize with me?
I could so empathize with you.
Sometimes you're in front of the mic, you get so excited, you start talking, you forget what you're talking about. You just want to shout and scream and just share something with the world, right?
That's pretty much my life in general.
That's it. That you always just want to share it,
just share
it the world.
Shout and
scream
shine.
And shine. There you go. Beautiful. That's yours. That's your doing, right? Awesome. So, Tiffany, it is Monday, and today's show, I'm going to jump right into this, is all about sympathy, empathy, apathy, and bacon.
And spring,
yes.
Happy spring,
yes. Everybody. Yeah. It's difficult to be apathetic to spring because you're sitting out here looking at this. It's very, very happy time, right? So we're going to be talking a little bit about those kind of things, and I'm loving it here. You know, you don't get the same view. From my view, I get to see out the window, to see some sunlight out there.
I get to see you.
Oh, and you get to see the sunlight reflect
off my
eyes.
I get to see the sunshine in your face.
Nice. Wow. When we switch places here, you're just going to be kissing up to me, and then I'm the one who's like, I have nothing to say. Okay, excellent.
For once.
There you go. So, Tiffany, before we do this, so anything crazy going on, anything that we want to share with the audience who's new out there, who's listening to us, these people out there, there's many people out there who have tuned into our show for the very first time.
For the very first time?
Can you believe that? There's people who've never listened to the show before.
Wow, I thought we were all over.
We are, but sometimes people are like eating dinner late at night, and so they don't listen to our show. Oh. And, you know, our show is perfect for to listen to while you're eating dinner because it's all about the bacon, right?
You know, but if they're laughing so hard, they might choke on their food.
Oh, good point. So we'll try not to be funny. How's that?
Oh, okay. All right. That's easy for us to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, there you go. We could do that. All right. So again, our show is all about the idea of helping you navigate those paths of happiness. We understand that there's plenty of times that we're going to get angry. There are things that are going to make us just get mad. There are things that are going to scare us and make us feel afraid. And of course, there's things that are going to upset us and make us feel very sad,
depressed.
We're going to feel anxiety. There's all kinds of emotions. And happiness is over there in the corner all by itself. All right, it's that muscle you've got to work out. You've got to keep pushing for it so that when we have something strong in our corner to fight against all those other emotions. That's what we're after. We're going to help you give you some of those shortcuts and help you justify some of those other emotions we go through and help you just move away from them a little bit. Yeah. Oh, you should see what we're practically dancing in here. Tiffany and I, we're doing the hula. The hula, as we're saying, is we're going to wave and swerve away from those types of things. So again, today it's actually pretty cool to talk about sympathy, empathy, and apathy, because I think the first two words, sympathy and empathy, are words that too often we use for the same meaning. And there is a difference in the meaning. And I really want to dig into it because there's something we have to understand it. And, you know, the sympathy police are not going to arrest you if you say you're being empathetic and you're really being sympathetic.
You don't think they will?
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. I think they're sympathetic to the fact that not everyone understands the difference. So, but it's important to understand that there is a difference so you can identify what you're feeling and what other people need from you. That's the most important thing. So, with that, at home, in the office, or in any situation you find yourself in, life can be overwhelming. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. It's filled with so much hate, hurt, and hardship. Because of that, so many people are looking for help, healing, and to be heard. None of us can be an endless supply of support. But when we are needed, we must take a close look at what we can offer. Okay? Because we can only offer so much.
A lot of times it could be just listening.
Exactly. Perfect. So, sympathy is when you share the feeling of another person, we see and acknowledge what they are going through, and we feel sorry for them. Okay, we just see them, but we can identify and acknowledge the feeling.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, so sympathy, I always think of sadness.
Sure, sure.
What about if someone tells you something happy and you're so happy for them?
I don't believe you're going to be sympathetic to them for being so happy.
So is there a word
that? Probably. Wow. I would have to look at it. I would say I would like to share in the joy there. I'm observing your joy. Sometimes we can't feel that same joy. And there's a difference between acknowledging their feeling and actually feeling it.
Because one of my friends just told me today that their nephew, his dream was to, first it was to open a food truck.
Okay.
He's a chef and does a lot of stuff on the side, but he wanted to open a food truck. And a friend of his came up to him and is going to be a silent partner and open an actual restaurant.
Okay.
And I was so happy. And I felt that joy that he must have, because his dream is actually coming true.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, what would that be? Is that empathy?
No. I think when we look towards the sympathy and empathy, and I could be wrong, and what we'll do is maybe during the break, if we ever take a break, we'll search the Google.
Okay.
And we'll take a closer look at that. But I believe that sympathy and empathy is really more on trying to share the feelings that when people are hurt.
Sadness.
And, right.
Okay.
Sadness. And it could also be, sadness brought on by fear or sadness brought on by anger.
Okay.
That we can empathize with those feelings.
Okay.
Okay. And so we'll double check that. But even, I think it's worth even chatting about those same types of feelings, like acknowledging someone's wonderful feelings and mimicking or feeling those feelings.
Exactly.
So no matter how they're feeling. So let's discuss that even further.
Okay, good.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for bringing it up. That's genius.
Oh.
Genius.
Aww.
I told you we switched places today. All right. So like I was saying, so sympathy is when you share the feeling of another person. All right. You can see it and you can not acknowledge it. It's going, I understand you're sad. I can see that. That's where you go over there and you can put an arm around someone and you ask them, what do you need? What can I get for you? But you're not experiencing the same sadness. You feel sad for the person of what they're going through, but you're not, you don't want them to be sad. You don't want them to be going through anything, but you can't feel the thing that is making them that sad. Okay, that's sympathy that you're giving them. Empathy is when you truly understand their feelings, all right, and we put ourselves in their shoes. All right, this would be something like if somebody had a great loss. Let's say they just lost their parent. And I could go to them and say, I too lost my parents. I know how it felt, what I went through. I can empathize with you because I have a greater understanding because I've experienced a similar thing. All right. Versus if somebody lost a parent, let's say, and I'd never lost a parent. Let's say my parents were alive, my grandparents are alive, and everyone's happy and healthy. It would be really hard for me to say, oh, I know what you're going through, because I don't really know it. I would like to think I can, but the most I can probably do is sympathize with them and say, it must be difficult what you're going through, but I don't know what it is. I've never felt anything that bad. Okay?
Gotcha.
All right. And then apathy is, of course, the absence of passion for another person.
Oh, I like that. Absence.
Yes.
That's easy to understand.
Completely. We're indifferent to their plight or their problems. In other words, there's something's going on and you're just like, oh, well, whatever.
Life goes on.
But I want you to think about this. Think of the idea that, let's say, someone very close to you, like your best friend, loses a parent. And let's just go with parent, because I like the idea of the order of death. Like, to make us feel better, the oldest in our family should pass away, then the next in line. Our grandparents, our parents. We don't ever want to lose a child or anything like that. And it's terrible when someone does that. And I can't empathize with that. So yeah, exactly. So let's say your best friend loses a parent. Okay, both of us have lost parents, and we understand some of the feeling that we went through. So we can almost empathize, but we don't know if we can empathize 100% absolutely accurately. Okay, because I don't know exactly when you just lost your mother not too long ago. I can empathize with it because not too long ago I lost my mother. But the relationship that I have with my mother might have been very different than the relationship you had with your mother. I can kind of empathize, but I can't be 100% sure that I'm feeling the same thing that you're feeling. Okay. So, but I can at least say I'm in the same ballpark. I understand. Now that would be an idea of empathy. Now let's say that you hear about somebody in a neighboring town. Okay, maybe 10 miles away, you just heard, I was flipping to the newspaper or it showed up on television, Jane Doe, blah, 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 just lost her mother. You're like, you'd be going, oh, that's sad. Okay, you're not going to be overwhelmed with emotion, okay, because that's a person you're not that connected to. You're not close enough to her. So you're going to be sympathetic for the fact that, oh, that's really difficult. I hope that everything's okay. I don't know the whole story. But I can identify with losing a parent, okay? Now, apathy or being apathetic would be there are plenty of people on the other side of the world who lose parents all the time, right? There are people dying all over the world. But we are not constantly, we're not constantly crying. We're not constantly going, oh my gosh, I'll bet someone just died. You know, we can't do that. We can't be that way all the time. So we have to learn to be apathetic to a lot of other people. You know, there's probably millions of people dying on a regular basis, but we can't be sympathetic or empathetic to everyone. Mm. So we have to learn, and we do this, you know, while growing up, we just learn to be apathetic because it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Can you imagine if you felt the pain someone went through every time they lost the loved one? If you felt that pain for every 8 billion people in the world, every time somebody died, if you felt that pain all the time inside, what that would do to you? It would just, your heart would explode.
I would have to listen to Master Happiness.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if I could fix that, you know, but how awful life would be if all you were doing. Now, luckily, you know, if we're going to wave that magic wand and you have to listen to and feel all that pain, you could also feel all the happiness that goes on throughout the entire world as mm-hmm. well. So maybe there'd be some balance. But you understand that just given that, the proximity, the distance we have between people, if it's a next door neighbor, if it's a person in a neighboring town versus it's somebody way on the other side of the world, suddenly the way we feel, the way that it affects us is different. Okay. And that's just one thing. That's one way of it. The proximity, the distance we have is one way to determine the difference between empathy, sympathy, and apathy. Right. Okay. All right. So given that, all right. Although true happiness comes from being in the service of others, okay, offering sympathy and empathy may not always be the best response because sometimes we can't offer sympathy and empathy, okay? In an emergency on an airplane, you must always put the mask on first before attempting to help others, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard that plenty of times. This is the same. This is true in almost every other aspect of our life. So in other words, if you are feeling a lot of pain, it is difficult for you to offer empathy or sympathy, in other words, comfort to other people if you are going through a lot of pain. When people in my life had passed away, there were times in my life that I was going through this change in my head of going, it's sadness and anger and just all these strong emotions. Well, at that point in time, I'm sorry, but I had to be apathetic to siblings and other people in my family. I couldn't care about them. There was no way I could take care of them because I had to take care of myself first.
Hmm.
Okay. And it's the exact same type of thing is that you've got to make sure you're in the right frame of mind. There are people out there and, you know, if you are and you can identify it, please stop doing it. There are people out there that what they do is they look for people to be sympathetic for and they say, oh, I'm empathetic. I can feel your pain. But they do this. They search those people out. Just to make themselves feel better. I want to surround myself with people who have a worse life than me so that I can feel better. Okay?
Huh?
Yeah. You've never seen anybody or never heard of anyone who has done that. They seek people out. They go to find people who are worse off than them and they go there and they offer them sympathy. Oh my gosh, this is terrible.
Like at groups?
No, just groups. It's like a person, individual. They will go to a funeral. They'll find people. And what they'll do is, let's say somebody's going through a hardship or something. What they'll do is they'll go talk to them and they'll go, oh, let me be there. I'll be a comfort to you. But what they're actually doing is comforting themselves. They're looking for people in pain so that they feel their life is better in comparison.
So what if they're actually helping someone that's in pain, even though
that's fine.
So it's a double,
sure,
a double positive.
I don't think it's a
because if it's
right,
helping
yes.
them,
it's definitely
helping the other
positive.
Person
it's definitely positive. But you don't want to. You don't. True happiness is not going to come from saying comparing myself to another person and saying, "Oh, well, my life could be worse. It could be like that." Okay. So I'm going to talk with them so I can hear the pain they're going through, so I can go home going, "Wow, my life's a whole lot better than them." You don't want that. That's an awful way to live. What? Okay. And granted, it might bring you some joy in the short run.
But it might bring the other person a little joy.
Well, yes, it might bring, if as long as that person believes that they're doing it for the right reason.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, I do like that because you found a little silver lining in that cloud. Good for you.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to try, like we do every week, and address sympathy, empathy, and apathy and kind of ways to go about this. By applying a little bacon to it.
Okay.
All right. And of course, it's not the bacon for chewing.
It's the bacon for doing.
There you go. All right. But before we get into that, Tiffany, I want to know. So did you dig up a bunch of cool quotes? Because I love these quotes. And let's hear what you've got.
Oh, boy.
I threw it at you early today.
Grief and love are conjoined. You don't get one without the other.
Oh, that's very deep. I like that a whole lot.
Jandy Nelson.
All right. That's cool. One of the cool things is this, is that a lot of people, let's take a look at just a simple relationship. You know, two people young, they fall in love or they feel they fall in love. But we know early on that's falling in lust. Okay. Love takes some time. All right. But eventually they end, right? And one person says, it's over. It's not working for me, and leaves. You know, the other person has a broken heart, or maybe they both have broken hearts, etc. But here's the difference. What do you think the opposite of love is?
Well, the first thing you'd come is hate.
Right. And that's usually what happens. But what ends up happening is hate. In order to have hate for somebody, that means you still have to have some connection to them.
Some feeling.
Right. Some type of feeling. And that hate, that anger, given the right feeling, I mean, that would mean I have to care about you enough to hate you. Okay. So that means I have some feelings towards you. And that feelings then, as long as those feelings exist, you can slowly turn that hate using understanding and explanation. You can turn that hate into something softer and then maybe turn it into love again. So the opposite of hate, of the opposite of love, I mean, is probably apathy or indifference.
Ooh.
Imagine this. Imagine you grew up with somebody, and let's say you're dating on them in high school, right? And you date them the entire time of high school, college, you get married, you know, and this goes on for a while, and you two are just, it's like made, it's the perfect thing, right?
Aww.
And you end. Now imagine if suddenly you or the other person just goes, I completely forgot about you. Like, you're nothing to me. You, I've erased you from my mind. As opposed to, I think about those times every once in a while, okay? So that idea of apathy or indifference, like, I don't care what happens to you. You're just another person in the world that exists in another area. And if I have to deal with you, I have to deal with you. But other than that, I don't really care. If I never see you again, it doesn't bother me.
Wow.
That would be that apathetic feeling. And in a lot of ways, that, just think about that. It sounds very strange, but it's some ways the quickest way to healing. Because if that person leaves you and says, I'm done, it's not going to happen, and they have no intentions of ever fixing anything, the faster you can come to the indifference or the apathy towards that person, the easier life is. You're not going to stress them. You're not going to think about them and go, oh, every time I think about that person, I get angry. Every time I think about that person, I get sad. You want to eliminate those emotions when that relationship can't be brought back together. Okay?
Gotcha.
It's good to have memories of, you know, to keep the memories alive and say, but don't tie those memories to anything in the future. Okay.
Mm.
When you think about, when I think about my dad sometimes, and I'm working in the garage and I'm building something, I have great memories and I picture him there with me and I'm building something, and it's just really good memories, but I'm not going to allow that to turn into sadness and go, oh, now I don't want to do anything because he's not here. No, he's gone. But I have these cherished memories. I have gratitude that I knew him and he taught me these things. And that's the difference where it's when it's a good situation, and I would remember it, you have to get away from sympathy and get away from empathy and get away from any of those negative feelings and just kind of say, I'm just going to remember the memories.
Well, your dad actually really is there in the garage
Probably. Watching
you and slapping you upside the head saying you're doing it wrong.
Why are you doing it that way? Why don't you put that tool away, right? Right. Think about all the people you've met in your life.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Exactly. All the people you've met throughout elementary school, high school, et cetera. And I know you just went to your high school reunion not too long ago. But think about all the people that you no longer see. Okay? Now, imagine if you just felt sad about every single one of them. Like, oh, how come I don't see her anymore? How come I don't see him anymore? Okay? How awful your life would be if that's all you did was continue to think about all those people in your life, whether they passed away, moved away, just you two of you separated because there was no strong bond keeping you together. Now add in all the people you've ever worked with at other companies that you left one company and they're still at the company, or they left the company and you left the company and you don't see each other. What you had in common was school. What you had in common was the neighborhood. What you had in common was the workplace. And once that's gone, you separate. Now, do you feel sad, or do you kind of feel indifferent to the point? Mm. There's some people you might feel sad, like, oh, I really wish I would. I'd like to know what she's doing.
That's Facebook.
There you go. All right. There you go. But there's a lot of people you don't connect with. And I'll bet you there might be still some people you wish, oh, I wish I can connect to them. But most of the people you're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. And that's fine. It's completely okay to feel that way because we don't want to be buried with this burden of being sad about everything that's every person who's come in our life and left.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. So let's apply some bacon to this.
Okay.
All right. So before you offer a shoulder to lean on to somebody who needs you, all right, before you do that, B is balance your reactions. You can't be all things to all people, okay? And what I mean by balance your reactions is take a look at this and say, someone is going through this difficult time. I don't know. I can't experience it. So you know the most you can offer them is some sympathy. And be there. Don't try to push it and try to be empathetic if you really can't be empathetic. All right? Don't try to say, I can feel your pain, because you can't. Instead, be there and just be sympathetic and say, I'm here. I acknowledge you must be going through a lot. I can't feel the same thing, so I don't know what you need from me, okay? So I'm going to be here at, you know, you call me, you lean on me, you tell me, you know, you need someone to punch, I'll find someone for you.
Marty.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you need me to go grocery shopping for you, you need me to buy you alcohol, whatever it is. That's being sympathetic. Now, on the next point, if you've gone through a similar position and you feel you can be empathetic, remember what I said at the beginning, just because you think you've gone through the same thing, you don't know how much more traumatic it is for them versus what it was for me. And they don't necessarily need to hear you talk about how you went through
exactly.
it. Okay?
Exactly.
So the moment there is to say, if I can be empathetic, I have to ask myself, what did I need at that point? Okay? What was I hoping to be surrounded by? What did I need to hear from people? And if you answer it, well, I needed to hear people share stories that I knew I wasn't alone, then again, because you don't know what the other person's going through, you have to ask them and saying, I think I know what you're going through because I went through something similar. When I was going through this, what helped me through this was when I shared stories. If you want to share stories, if you need someone just to listen to you, or if you need to hear how other people dealt with it, let me know. But in the meantime, I'm going to be here for you.
Yeah.
And whatever you need. And that's what you've got to do, is you've got to truly just be able to say, I can empathize with you, or at least in my mind, I believe I can empathize with you, but I'm not sure what you're necessarily going through.
Okay? Sounds good.
All right. And I have to share this story. You'll love this.
A Marty story.
Yeah, you'll love this story. Okay. Because this is the perfect kind of explanation to this. I had my appendix taken out. Okay, and it was
long ago.
A long, I don't know, a long time ago.
Really, really long ago.
Well, more than 10 years ago. More than 15 years ago.
Ooh, that is a long time ago.
Anyway, and so I drove myself to the hospital. In fact, yeah, it kind of gave me an idea. My daughter, Katie, was alive, so she was little. So you're looking at maybe 20 years ago.
Oh.
20 years ago. All right. So she was at home, and so I was like, I got to drive myself to the hospital. And I get to the hospital, and I was able to park the car, get in there, and I'm holding myself. It's raining out. I mean, everything like that. So it was really good. And it's, you know, I'm going to build this up like this is, oh, this is astronomical. And there was an asteroids and stuff like that. But anyway, so I get in there, and the woman's like, can I help you? And I was like, yeah, I've got this pain. I called the doctor. He said I should come in here. And she looked up, and she goes, oh, my God, you look terrible. Here, lay down here. And they put me in the room, and they connected an IV and gave me some drugs, knocked me out, right? And then I remember them waking me up a little while later and saying, all right, Mr. Jalev, your vitals are fine. We've given you narcotics and stuff. We were going to operate on you. We have to remove the appendix. We're going to operate, but there's an emergency. We're going to take care of them first. I remember this completely. And I was like, I'm fine. I feel great right now because I'm all drugged up. And I was like, take care of whoever you need to. I'm good. Next time I wake up, the operation was finished.
So you went back to sleep?
Oh, yeah. Back to sleep. They gave me more drugs and I was done.
Wow.
Right? And so I woke up and it was all finished, right?
Nice.
So I look because I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. I'm going to have this like cool scar. Like, what's the scar going to look like, right? And they show me and she starts explaining to me, okay, there's no scar because what we do is we inject gas inside your abdomen. Okay, we inject this gas inside you and we blow up your body, expand it so your navel, your belly button turns inside out.
Oh my God.
I know. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Like, I wanted to see this, right? But, and then we make the incision there.
In the belly button?
In the belly button. And then all the tools go in there and they cut it and they get lasers and vacuums and they suck the thing out and it's all good, right? And I'm like, okay, so then what? Well, then we let the gas out and it goes back in. So your scar is inside, deep inside your belly button, right?
Okay, I'm sorry. That's so cool.
It is. Without a doubt, it's really cool. But here's the bad part is they said, so your navel now is completely stuffed with all this cotton and this wadding and stuff to help you heal. And so every morning you have to pull all of this out, clean your navel because we don't want an infection.
And you gotta
and
shove
then
it back
shove
in.
More stuff in. Right, there you go. That's the face I was looking for, right? So I had to do this morning after morning, and
did it smell?
Oh, yeah, sometimes it smelled, right? But it was also, what happened was it would coagulate, it would scab up and seal, and I would have to rip it open.
Yeah,
right. And so I was getting so upset, and I ended up getting an infection, and I had to go back in. They had to give me antibiotics, so it extended this thing. And one day I just gave up. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm pulling this out. I'm like, I can't do it anymore because it's just, you know, you just feel this pain in your belly button, right? And I was like, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. And I love this because I love the faces you're making that you're showing some empathy because you can imagine some of the pain, right? All right. So anyway, I go to the doctor and he goes, all right. I go, you have to pull the rest of this out. I can't do it anymore. And he goes to grab it. I go, no, you have to give me pain medicine first. I don't want you pulling out. So he gives me some shots in my belly and he pulls it. It was only in me another like an eighth of an inch. That's how much I could.
And you got all that painkillers.
Right, yeah. So it was rough. So anyway, I healed. Everything is fine. It's all good. And I'm back at work. And there's this guy. Oh, gosh. I just forgot his name completely. I feel so terrible.
John.
Yeah, John. Yeah. And it's a guy born in Guatemala. He was a short guy. He was like 4'2" or something like that. He was a little guy. And I was telling him, and he was an engineer. I'm telling him about the story. And as I'm telling the story, he is like gagging. He's covering his mouth. Like he's like, oh my God, this is awful. This is awful. And he's just going on. And as he's telling the story, I love to tell great stories. So as I'm telling the story more and more, and he's going, oh my God. And then you had to do that. Oh my God, not in your belly button, right?
I totally see you making it worse.
Oh, and yeah, exactly. I'm building it up like, oh, I have the perfect audience here, right? And when it's finished, I'm feeling kind of like good about myself because I'm like, and I survived that. You know, I survived pushing cotton in my belly button, right? Which is kind of just, when you think about it, it's kind of silly. So I'm like, I survived that, right? And I looked at him and I was like, so did you ever have anything like that? And he goes, yeah, yeah. Actually, I had my appendix out too. And he opens up his shirt and he has a scar from like his left leg up through his chest, across his body, down Like, they had to cut him open and open him up like an envelope. Okay? I'm like, my God, this incision was like 18 by 10 by 18. It was just an enormous. And I go, what? Like, they cut him open like a box and ripped him the top off. He goes, yeah, I was in Guatemala. And, excuse me, I'm coughing. And he goes, and my appendix burst. So they had to cut me open like that completely and clean me all out.
Poison.
And I was like, from the poison. And I was like, oh my God, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you sit there and just listen to my story?
About cotton in your belly.
Right. And here you went through this major surgery. And he goes, oh, and I could have died. I was like, at no point in time did I think, oh my gosh, I could die. In fact, I was laying there going, yeah, give me some more of those drugs. I'm good. I'm sorry, I got your cough now,
yeah.
Too.
You want a cough drop?
I would love a cough drop. Oh. Thank you. I hope I'm not coughing right into the mic and scaring all our listeners away. Oh. So anyway, what happens was, to me, that was a perfect example of this guy who truly could empathize with me about the pain I was going through. But then when I realized it and flipped it around and saw him, I couldn't empathize with what he went through. I was suddenly going, oh my gosh. And here you are showing me, sharing my pain with
yeah.
me, making me feel better about myself. And here you were in such a worse position than I could ever, ever imagine.
Aww.
So yeah, wonderful, wonderful guy to just be able to just smile and listen to my story and share that. And then to see that was kind of like going, all right, never mind.
My brother had his appendix out, and he has a nice size scar.
See, everyone gets a scar.
Except for you.
Exactly.
You get cotton in the belly button.
Exactly. Exactly. And I really wanted, and I wanted kind of, I didn't want to have to go through the healing of a scar.
Yeah, he had a drain and stuff too.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I just want them to, like, maybe I'll get a tattoo of a scar. That would be
ooh.
Cool. Yeah, I could get a really bad one. I'll get the John, the engineer's tattoo that all around my whole body, like that. I'll have a wrap around my back.
Wrap around your back.
I was like, they had to unscrew me to get to my appendix. Yeah. So anyway, that's an idea of this idea that this kid who could have gone, you know, who went through a horrific point in time could have looked upon my thing as nothing.
And he could easily have said, are you kidding me?
That's it?
Wine, wine, wine.
Right, right. And he could have been completely apathetic to me.
Yes.
But this was a person who was so in tuned and can put himself in that right place.
Very nice. So, it sounds like a very nice person.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, so that was B. Balance your reactions. All right, we're flying through the letters. We're still on B. Okay, balance your reactions because you can only give what you can give. All right, if I'm not ready to be sympathetic or I don't know how to be empathetic, then just try to be sympathetic. Just try to see it, okay? And then keep your mouth shut, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't do the whole, can't be that bad, okay? All right. A is this. Ask yourself what you or they need. Don't offer the wrong response. Sometimes what ends up happening is some people just need sympathy. They're at that particular stage where they just need sympathy. They need people to go, oh my God, I'm so sorry for you. And that's all they need. They don't need you to say, I can feel the same thing.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Because sometimes they want, the only comfort they can get is, unfortunately, I don't know a better way to put it, the only comfort they can get is to kind of feel sorry for themselves. Embrace that pain at this moment. And I don't want to know that everyone else has it, because as soon as you tell me other people experience it, the next thing out of your mouth is going to be, so don't feel so sad. And I'm not ready for that yet. So sometimes all we want to do is offer sympathy. Find out exactly what they need and find out also what you need. Because if I have a friend who's going through a lot of pain, I need to be able to do something for that person. I need to feel like I'm important. I need to help him. I can't
being strong enough
him. So what do I need? Other times somebody's going through something and I'm going to go, doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Okay. And so for myself, if I'm apathetic, but that person really needs somebody to lean on, if I can't do that, then I should stay away from that person. I should maybe make a call and say, you know, I understand what you're going through. You know, hopefully you're being surrounded by people. Find someone you need to talk to. Try to be that person, but you can't fake it. You have to be true to yourself. And which I said in the beginning, be true to yourself, fix yourself, make sure you're good. And then try to be at least sympathetic to the person. and never fake empathy.
Oh, don't.
Right.
No, don't. That's, yeah.
There you go. All right, C. All right, so far as balance your reactions, ask yourself what you and they need. C is compassion is the doing and pathos is the feeling.
Oh, for
okay.
Pete's sake.
No,
I'm
right.
going to have to explain that. No,
that's all right. Okay, remember a while ago we talked about ethos, pathos, and logos, and it was something that Aristotle used to talk about.
Okay, I was going to say, I think that was the Greek.
Right. So pathos is about feeling. It's the Greek word for feeling, having your feelings. And so when I say pathos, what ends up happening is all these words, sympathy, empathy, and apathy, come from the Greek pathos. That's the empathy, sympathy, apathy. The pathy is from pathos.
The pathies,
right. And so sympathy comes from the Greek, which means with feeling. Empathy comes from the Greek, which means within feelings. So in other words, I can feel within you.
Okay.
And then apathy comes from without feeling. Okay?
That's good.
So there you go. So that's the origin of those words. And that's what to group them together, that's why I'm calling them all these pathos. Okay. So C is compassion is the doing, pathos is the feeling. So all of those things, whether it's sympathy, empathy, or apathy, is how you feel. Okay? Compassion is actually doing something for the person. I can have compassion with sympathy, saying, wow, this person must be really hurting. I'm going to bring them a meal. I'm going to bring them groceries because they don't get a chance to go out. I'll bring them flowers. That is showing sympathy with compassion.
Okay.
Empathy is I can really feel what you're going through because I've gone through it too. So the compassion is I'm going to be with you. It's when dear friends, close people say, I'm going to sit with you in the hospital 24 hours a day until you're better. You know, that's the compassion they have because I'm empathetic. I know what you're going through. I can feel your pain. I love you so much. And I've gone through a similar thing and I'm going to be here. The compassion is the
I'm going to be there to take that cotton out of your belly button.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So God knows I needed someone. Right. I was contemplated like tying a string to it to the door, like you pull a tooth, but no, that didn't work.
I see you doing that.
So that's it. When we talk about, the reason I really wanted to drive home compassion is the idea that sympathy, empathy, and apathy is the feeling, just the feeling. And compassion is the doing. And you should be doing something, if you can, for all those people who need you. Do it all the time. And you can do it whether you're sympathetic or empathetic. And so don't let that be the question. Just do whatever your people need. Okay?
All right.
All right. Oh, is other perspectives help us grow? All right. Now, the quickest way to feel any of these feelings is to try to open our mind to other people's feelings. All right. There's a term called otherness. And what happens is when we feel close to people, the people we feel the closest to are the people who are most similar to us. And remember we talked about before, like we talk about proximity, but it's also maybe you're going to feel a little bit more sympathy or empathy towards women in a man's world. Let's just put it that way. I might feel more sympathy towards a husband or a father with daughters because I'm like, oh, I can understand what they're going through. And I'm going to have a little, which by the way, when I say what they're going through is, pure joy. Okay, that's what I meant. And so what ends up happening is we have a tendency to feel more for people, whether it's sympathy or empathy, we feel more towards them because we are similar to them. And people are very different than us. We have less sympathy for them. Okay, and we kind of go, well, I don't understand where they come from. I don't understand their traits, their culture. And so that's just what happens over there. And it just makes it easier for us to be apathetic. Okay, so as a world, as people, and to get us closer to happiness, what we need to do is we have to open our minds to these other cultures. We have to be able to visit other places, like you love to travel.
Uh-huh.
All right, and you should travel to far off lands and see things that we've never had an opportunity to see here.
Kind of like the Amazing Race.
Exactly. It is exactly like the Amazing Race. And see these other people and talk to other cultures and just understand what they go through, okay? When the furthest I went, and it's only the one time, was to China, and it was amazing to see this incredibly different culture. And I went to a small like a production town where there's a lot of workers in facilities, you know, warehouses, etc. And just to see the way that they acted, and then to go to the like the bazaars and the street fairs where they're buying groceries like off the street. And it was just an amazing experience. And so the more you do things like that, the more our minds open up and we can be more empathetic to other people's needs. Because the more you see from other cultures, the closer we become. The more you see of people who are very different, you start to find out that we're not that different. There's a lot of us that are the same.
I went to Wales.
Okay.
Some summer. And I was with a bunch of kids my age.
Yeah.
Well, I was in my early 20s, so I guess I was a kid then, technically.
Sure.
Anyways, and it was so funny because they're like, so do you want to get Chinese food and rent a movie? And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so funny because that's what we do here.
Sure,
and
sure.
Here they are saying, hey, you want to get Chinese food?
Right.
And we could rent a movie and watch a movie and what you know. So
yeah.
We ordered Chinese food and we rented
awesome.
And watched a movie.
That's
and it was
excellent.
So funny because you were saying how different other countries are. But yet
they're very much the same.
Very much the same.
When I was there,
very cool.
They said, oh, we have one very special surprise, something we want to take you to. And I was like, all right, like, I can't wait for it. And it was like that Wednesday or something. I'm like, all right, where are we going to go? And it was the mall. And I was like, really? So here we are in China. We're going to go to the mall. And it was so sad. It was funny and sad because you saw all these signs, Chinese and English. And I'm like, yeah, this just, I don't want to be in a mall. All right. It was more fun to go to the grocery store. That was to see the odd food. Odd
oh,
the,
I
that
bet.
Would be compared to what I'm used to seeing. So, but anyway, the more we do that, the more we explore with other cultures, the more our mind opens and the more we connect and we realize we're all the same.
So when after the mall, did you go to McDonald's?
No, I refused to go to any chain. I said, because they offered that a couple of times, like,
oh,
do you
yeah?
want McDonald's food or something? I'm like, no. I only want authentic food, like from restaurants here. You pick the food and stuff like that. It wasn't until the end of the week that I could name foods. Hey, remember we had that one food that I really like. They have it here and it's
fine
on the menu. Yeah,
oh.
Because there were certain things you really like.
Yeah.
But anyway, it still, by the end of the week, you realize that they were just people.
Yep.
We would laugh and stuff like that. And language should never be a barrier.
Correct.
We shouldn't say, oh, well, I don't speak the language, so I can't talk to them. We're still all people. People
absolutely.
All laugh the same
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Yes. So the more we see others, our perspectives grow and we become... more empathy. It's easier for us to like fast track our empathy, okay, as we evolve and we understand. Okay, and lastly is N is the necessity of pathos, okay, the necessity of these feelings, all right? It's important for us to be able to feel what other people feel. That's number one, the big thing. It's important for us to try to feel what they're feeling, okay, to care about their well-being and to act with compassion. That's what's really important. This helps us get along with each other, work better, and thrive as a society. Because if I'm not putting a conscious effort towards getting to understand your pain and seeing if there's a way for me to help you, to be compassionate with that, if I'm not doing that, then there's no reason for us to grow closer. But if I can learn and say, teach me more about why this is hurting you so much, no matter who it is, no matter if it's somebody who's a neighbor who I've known forever, but all of a sudden something's hurting them, beyond my understanding, I've got to reach to try to find what that reason is. If it's somebody on the other side of the world that I have the opportunity to bring a smile to their face, I've got to fight for that and try to understand that. And this is what's important. It's we have this necessity, and it's like this. We are all needed. Everyone, every single person in the world, every single person listening to this radio station, we are all needed. Somebody needs us.
Yeah.
Somebody needs you in their life, okay? And we, as individuals, have a need to be needed. We want to feel that we're needed. Nobody wants to feel you're excusable, okay? That you're expendable, that you're not needed. Everyone needs to be needed, and the reality is that is the truth. We are all absolutely needed, that we're all important in our own way, and there are plenty of people out there. There are people out there that we've never met who just need us in their lives to know that we exist, to know that we can care about them. Okay.
All right. I was looking for actual quote.
Let me hear your quote. You haven't done it in a while, and I apologize.
Oh, well, this is actually one I had posted on my Facebook
okay.
page. How cool is it that the same God who created mountains, oceans, and galaxies looked at you and thought the world needed one of you too.
Wow, that's isn't that beautiful. Awesome? Yes, that is awesome. Very good.
I had posted, I saw that when you were saying that someone needs you.
Yes.
I thought that, and God looked at and said the world needs you too.
Completely. I love that. And I truly believe that every single person has some type of purpose.
Yeah.
And sometimes the purpose might be small and it might seem insignificant to you at the moment, but you have that purpose because with that one little thing you do catapults into a domino effect that just does so many other wonderful things down the line. Okay.
Yeah.
So don't ever second guess yourself. Don't ever second guess your importance in the world. Okay, and how much you are needed here, and how much so many other people need, and it could be the simplest thing of walking down the street, seeing someone, and just giving them a smile.
Absolutely,
that's it. And it's so, and if, smiles are free.
Yeah,
I mean, you make them on your own. Okay, and so just give them away, and what they do is then that person will give that smile to someone else, and they'll start making their own, and it's just so easy.
Yeah,
it's so seed the world with these smiles.
Yeah.
Okay.
So true, so true.
Okay.
Okay, so there's like, now I'm kind of changing the subject from smiling at everybody.
Yes.
To like murderers.
Yes.
Okay, you know how sometimes they say they're in the court and they're facing family members of someone they murdered and they have no empathy?
Yes.
Now, is that a certain something? Is it not... Is there a word for it? Because they have no sympathy. They have no empathy. They don't care that they just murdered
a loved one. Gets down to the end of a psychopath, okay, when they cannot have any feelings towards other people. There is something truly wrong with them, which is well beyond the scope of this show. There's no way I'm going to...
Okay, so there's not necessarily another word besides psychopath?
Possibly. In fact, you know, I pulled this up... when we display empathy, people feel more satisfied with the conversation, and we become more socially attractive. That's it. Let me see. Since we are social creatures, being able to navigate social situations successfully contributes to our overall sense of happiness and well-being. I still think it goes back down towards that same thing of sympathy and empathy towards a rough situation. We can understand that.
Okay.
I think if somebody's having a great time, we just share in the joy. Okay. Is there another term? There possibly is, but we'll have to look that up.
Maybe that will be for another show.
Possibly.
Yes.
Let's all do that. Let's share. In the meantime, let's all share in each other's joy. Okay. Last thing I wanted to bring up was this whole idea. Have you ever heard of emotional intelligence? Okay.
I think I have heard of it, but you have to remind me of it.
And this is this idea that and the workplace, this is more important than IQ in intelligence. This, instead of the intelligence quotients, this is the emotional quotient, is how much we are able to empathize with other people, what they're going through, to make better decisions and work together as a team. Wouldn't you rather work for someone who can say, oh, you know, Tiffany, it looks like I'm giving you too much work. I don't want to add stress to your work, so we're going to adjust this a little bit. Someone who's more in tune with you as opposed to someone who's saying, oh, I'm super smart. I could do that so much quicker. Why is it taking you so long? Okay, so what you want to do is you want to find those people who can offer that type of emotion, that type of empathy, all right, which is the other show when Nate and Luke was here, and Nate had brought up, how do you deal with employees just on a regular basis, because he said as his jobs are changing, his job is changing and growing, there are possibilities he's got to deal with people above him and people below him and get them to do things. And remember I told
him... Oh, you gave good advice.
And I said it was the three things. In order to get good employees, in order to get them to stay, in order to get them to understand what you need, is the three letters, G-E-T, is you have to give them goals, you have to give them empathy, and you got to give them tools. All right? So in other words... The goals are, this is what I need you to do by this date, and we're going to be able to measure it, okay? To say, you know, you have to turn over 200 widgets by this date, okay? Here are the tools you need, the actual physical tools. We have to give you the desk, the room, all the stuff you need to get it done. And then an empathy to know that you're a human being, and humans make mistakes. Humans come with other baggage from other parts of their day, their life, etc. And so I'm going to empathize with you, making sure that you're emotionally set to do the job.
Okay. So how would you, if you're not getting that, how would you, do you talk to your boss?
Yeah, I would talk openly with my boss, and I would say these types of things. Look, you are very good at setting goals for me. I understand it. I truly appreciate that. You give me all the tools I need. Every time I come to you and I said, hey, I need this and I need this. I need a new software. I need an upgrade. I need new pens. I need a stapler, whatever. You give me the tools I need. You set reasonable goals. The problem is every once in a while, I'm going through a really tough time at home and it's affecting the way I come to work. And occasionally I just need you to give me a little extra slack. Is there any way, how can we make that happen? And I would say something like that. And you have to be able to have an open conversation with them. And if the boss comes out and goes, I don't really care what goes on in your home life. When you're here, you're mine for 8 hours and you're doing the job. That's the kind of job you work in. And there are a lot of places like that. You need to deal with this as long as you can.
And maybe find
something else. Okay. And this is also another reason why they have HR departments. Because you should be able to go to an HR department and say, look, I'm having some trouble here. This is what's going on. What can I do? Because a lot of times the HR departments also have the ability to get you some therapy or some additional help, just someone to talk to. And the HR department could maybe just be that person. You just can hear your point of view.
Okay.
So I think it all starts with open conversation. And so if you're going to be a good manager, and the companies I coach, I always pitch this to them. Once we define the values of the company, what they're after, what the core is, how they identify themselves, and we're hiring people, the whole idea is to take a look at those values and say, can the people we're hiring match our values so they're a perfect fit for the company? And then is every level of the company emotionally equipped for working with humans? Okay, I know it sounds kind of silly. Well, of course we're working with humans, but it's important to understand that humans come with other problems. We can't let those problems get in the way because the idea of the company is to make money. But the kind of companies you work for that are going to give you the support you need are the kind of companies that you're going to want to stay in for a long time. And those are the companies you're also going to want to work a little harder at. Okay? So smart companies offer emotional intelligence, emotional support. Wow. And we're wrapping up. We're getting close to the end. What time you got over there?
Well, my clock is off because mine says 7:55 and it said 7 o'clock and we were still during commercials. So
we got a little bit of time. This one says 7:59 and this one says 5:79.
5:79.
Okay. That one says 4:27. So who knows what time it really is?
The clock behind me looks like it matches with my.
Yeah, I got 7:55 on my watch.
Yeah.
Too. All right, so anyway, let's hear another quote from you there, Tiffaroo.
Oh, boy. Okay. The great gift of human beings is that we have the power of empathy.
Yes.
We have all sense of a mysterious connection to each other.
Yes.
Meryl Streep.
Wow, that Meryl Streep. Is there no end to her talent? Okay. Let me ask you this. Take a look at this. Here's some examples. Someone loses a relative or gets divorced, okay? And let's say that it is someone really close to you, extremely close to you, like a close family member. How are you going to feel towards them? And let's say a very close family member gets divorced. Let's keep it clean like that. Best friend or a family member.
See, and then it might be, thank God I'm finally divorced. Or it's like, oh my God.
There you go. Maybe, you're right.
And if it's that way, it's like, woohoo, we're going out and having
a
party.
Right. But even that, there's going to be a point in time where sadness is going to kick in.
Yes.
You know, and so you'll probably, because you've never been through a divorce, so you'll probably be more sympathetic than empathetic.
Oh.
Okay? Because you can say, oh, I feel what you're going through, but do you really?
You know what? The sad thing is, I think I might say, you know what? It's better off. Let's say the husband asked for the divorce. Uh-huh. If they didn't want it, they're real hurt. I guess my advice would be, you know what? Do you really want to be in a marriage and be with someone that doesn't feel the same way about you?
See, and that's good. That's the compassion you're showing.
That's compassion?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're offering help. You're offering something.
I thought that was, kind of bad because here they are hurting, and I'm saying, oh, you know,
but,
it's better.
But again, only offer that once you find out what they need. If they don't need to hear that, if they go, I don't care, stop saying that. I love this person. I want to get back together. They don't need to hear that. Okay? So you first test the waters. That's why the first thing was ask yourself what you need and what they need. And then before you offer compassion, because you don't want to offer the wrong thing. Okay? Mm. All right. So let me.
They'll say, no, that's not what I need. Okay, let's try this one.
Now, how about this one? Let's say you work with somebody, really good friends with them. Ooh. And they get fired. Okay. Now you're going to feel.
I would be so sad.
All right. Now.
They can't take you away from
me. Now what they do is this is someone like your boss or something. They get fired. Someone you get along with very well. And then you get their job. Now you talk about that mixed emotion. You're feeling sad because you're losing them. But all of a sudden you get this more responsibility, more money. You get the job you've wanted, etc.
I was going to say something like that kind of happened, but she wasn't a really good friend of mine. But we talked and hung out and well, not after work, but and she did actually get fired and I did get her job.
And so
after she left the company, I didn't see her again.
Okay.
So it wasn't like we were, so we weren't that good of friends because we didn't hang out after work. But
you were sympathetic to her losing her job, but you were also, it's difficult. It's difficult to go, oh, I'm empathetic. That must be really rough. But in the meantime, I'm really happy.
I got an office.
Yeah, exactly.
I got raise.
So think about this. This is when I talk about some of that idea of check yourself, balance your reactions before you give them. Because if you are so elated because you got the job, can you imagine going to that person?
I would honestly, guilt.
Yes,
big time
guilt.
So it'd
be this whole And so what you would be doing is you'd be going there, I am so sorry. I apologize. But it's not, that's not what that person needs to hear.
You're right. I would.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so what happens by saying, I'm so sorry, what you're doing is you're saying, please forgive me.
Yeah.
Give me something.
Nope.
As opposed to being compassionate and giving them something.
Absolutely. You're 100% right.
There you go. And we talked about this other one I written down. A typhoon on the other side of the world versus your neighbor's house is on fire. So think about the different ways you would feel. You know, it would be your neighbor. You're going to see this on a regular basis. You're going to talk to them. You're going to do whatever you can. The typhoon, you might feel sorry as long as you see it on television.
They had a book of questions.
Uh-huh.
And for like parties that you know, stuff. And one was a plane full of hundreds of people crash.
Yeah.
Or a plane where a relative, you know, what would you pick? Would you save 500 people or would you save your one family member?
Sure.
And of course, everyone's like my family member.
Right, right. Because you're that's the whole idea.
That's more.
And that's where otherness comes in.
Yep.
Those are other people. I don't know them, but this person I know.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, it looks like we've got to wrap this up.
We got to wrap this up.
And if those of you who haven't learned a lot from here, then we're going to have sympathy.